Hey guys, on FitChicks Chat today, we have the lovely Leanne Lang joining us. Leanne has spent the last 20 years as a television broadcaster with 10 years as a sports anchor and almost another 10 as the host of CTV Morning Live. This former Canadian elite gymnast has always maintained a strong passion for health, fitness, and wellness. She is a mother of two daughters and recently took a leap of faith to embark on her own journey, leaving the world of television behind her and launching her own website, leannelang.com, as well as her podcast, Living Your Life with Leanne Lang. So welcome, Leanne, to Fit Chicks Chat.
Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn, and in today's podcast, I'm actually interviewing Leanne Lang. Hi, Leanne.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. Like, how crazy is it that you're actually interviewing me after all of these years of me interviewing you?
I know. When I saw that you had made this transition and that you were, you know, and we'll talk about this in a second, but when I saw that you were doing this, I thought, I have to interview you. I have to switch the tables for once, because I've always been in, like, feeling like I'm in the hot seat, so today you are.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Everything's a new adventure. Yeah,
exactly. So, so for anyone listening right now, like, you know, I love chatting with you, Leanne, as you know, and I think, you know, what I really want to share with people today on today's podcast is, you know, the whole idea of possibility, the whole idea that you don't have to feel stuck. You don't have to feel stuck in a position or stuck in a job or stuck in a career path just because of the time invested or the situation that you have, you know, with your family situation or anything else, because what you've done is exactly, you've taken your entire life, and I'll let you elaborate on this, but you've taken your entire life and basically just did like a complete 180. Like, you just flipped everything on its head, you know, and made this big decision, in my opinion. Especially from a career standpoint. So why don't you tell us, why don't you tell our listeners, you know, based on this whole idea of possibility, why don't you tell them your story?
Yeah. Like, Amanda, I looked over a cliff and then jumped.
Yeah.
With like no parachute and like just figuring that eventually it's on the way down, I'm going to figure out how to fly. And that's pretty much what I did. So yeah, it's been quite the transition. So, I mean, for me, I was 20 years working in broadcast television. So I started when I was 22 years old, as a sports anchor, a sports reporter, then turned anchor, having to learn everything on the job. Like, how I got into the industry is totally crazy. But I spent 10 years as a sports anchor and then 10 years as a morning show host. And then you kind of wake up one day and say, I think I've done everything I can do here. And in order for me to kind of keep getting out of bed and feeling good about what I'm doing, I have to make a change. So there was a lot of factors that went into that decision. Like, it was not, overnight decision, but it was really bottom line, listening to your gut, like listening to that gut instinct and following up on it, which is so hard to do. It was not an easy task.
Of course. And I mean, you are, you know, you're a mom as well and everything else. How did that come into play in terms of like impacting your decision to just basically make an entire career change? And what is it, you know, that you're currently doing right now?
Gosh, that's like a loaded question right now.
I know.
Like, let me start with the kids. So I have two kids, two daughters. They just turned 13 and 10. So, and they're both competitive athletes. So they're playing competitive sports, and you know, we're out late at night. And if I can just backtrack, like my schedule working that morning show, like I was up at 3:30, 3:40 a.m. every day. And it was like, it was mock speed for me from the time that I woke up. So I would wake up, I would jump in the shower, and then I'd get back into my pajamas and drive myself into work. And then I did my own hair and makeup. Like there was no team behind the scenes. It was like my own hair and makeup. We were on set by 5 a.m., like hair, everything ready, on set, taping things for the airport. Like, you know, when you go to the airport and there's the news piece?
Yeah.
So we were taping that at 5 a.m. Then we would have our morning meetings, kind of going through, you know, the stories of the day, the videos of the day, going through our guest list. And then at around 5:45 a.m., I would go back and freshen myself up so that I could be back on set for 6. And then I was from 6 until 10 was a full 4 hour live show. So I was going from like 3:30, 3:40 a.m. until 10 a.m. at mock speed. And then, you know, we had post show meetings and I had shoots and I had charity work. So like, I wasn't really done my work day until around 1:32, you know, kids are out of school. And then I would work out because that was the only thing that kept me sane. And then 3 o'clock is pick up at school for the kids. And then kids off to their sports. My daughter's a gymnast, so it's training until 7:30, home by, you know, a little after 8, and then dinner, and then homework, and then bath, and then reading time. And so I wasn't going to bed until at least 10 p.m.
Oh my gosh.
So it was 10 p.m. And by 10 p.m., having been up since 3:30, I say 3:30, 3:40 because it depended on the day.
Yeah.
and I was doing that. So I was really surviving on 5 and a bit hours of sleep. And so I felt like my kids were suffering. Like I had plenty of time with my kids. It wasn't a lack of not being there for them. Mm-hmm. I just felt that I was not being the best parent for them because I was exhausted and I was agitated quickly and frustrated quickly. And, you know, by 10 o'clock, I'm just like, please just go to bed, you know, like I'm exhausted, you know. And you know, I have a superhuman husband, like superpower husband, who did the mornings. Like I think of what he went through because I went onto that morning show when my youngest was 6 months old. And so he had, you know, two girls from the time one was 3 and 1 was 6 months to get ready in the morning, to get them off to school, off to everything. Like, and he did that for 10 years.
Wow.
You know, that so that impressive. He had them in the morning. Yeah, like I give him full credit. But I was always there after school for all of the activities, for all of the running around. But I felt like I wasn't the kind of mom. I didn't like how I reacted sometimes, you know, so I felt that they weren't getting the best version of me.
Right.
Yeah. So they were really excited, actually, about, you know, my decision to leave. And the first month of me being home in the mornings, oh my God, like I did hairstyles, like they wanted curly hair one day and French braids the next day. And, you know, like they were so excited to finally have me home, like, and you know, that I could do their hair and all that stuff. But honestly, after 4 weeks that wore off, you know, now it's just like, hey mom, like whatever, you're home, you know?
Yeah. And so what is it that you're doing now? Like, what have you transitioned from like this entire career path that you were on, you know, for so long? What is it that you're currently doing now that you are home?
Okay. So when I left television, and I had really spent 20 years interviewing people. And so I loved still being a storyteller and being able to tell stories and to interview people so that they got their message, their event, their purpose, their mission across in our interviews. And I didn't want to give that up. So I'm just doing a lot of things that I did on CTV Morning Live on my own platform. So my passion has always been health and wellness and fitness. Like, you know, like it was a huge part of who I am and maintain to be. And I think that my lifestyle was the main reason why I lasted on the show as long as I did. So I decided to launch my own website, which is leannelang.com. And then on it are, you know, interviews and videos with like some of my favorite nutritionists and dietitians and trainers, and kind of doing what I was doing on the show, but just having it on my own platform. So that's what you'd find on the website and kind of my writing. But the big thing for me was to have the podcast. So similar to what you're doing, I'm doing the same thing, but with many of my favorite guests and having longer than 4 to 5 minutes, which I've had that's all the time I had to do my interviews with them was 4 to 5 minutes. And now having, you know, 45 minutes to an hour to kind of go through their lives and their background and their information. So my podcast is Living Your Life with Leann Lang. And that's really been my new baby since kind of making that leap of faith and walking away from the show.
Right.
Yeah.
No, and that's very cool. And I mean, I know for me and for Laura, like having a podcast for us is just, it's one of our favorite ways to communicate. We find that you can just share so quickly and you can, like you said, dive so deeply. Cause I remember doing interviews with you too. And yeah, like sometimes it's like, we get it like half a sentence and be like, oh, time's up. Cause you're just like,
and it was frustrating for me too.
Yeah.
And that was the thing is that I felt a lot of the time is you know, morning television. I mean, it is. It's slotted. You got 4 to 5 minutes. We go through like eight, you know, we could have 8 to 10 guests a show over 4 hours. And there were a lot of guests that I knew there was so much more information that was going to be beneficial to the viewers that I just couldn't get to. And so it became really frustrating sometimes. And I just wanted to have an outlet to be able to say, I know you've mentioned this. Can you explain it deeper and further? And why does it matter? So yeah. I get to kind of ask those questions right now. And so I'm loving that format. And I can tell for you guys too, right? It's your personalities come out. You have a chance to inspire your followers and your clients. Like it just works differently. I think people have a different feel when you can just sit down and listen to somebody tell their stories.
Agreed. Definitely.
Yeah. So, yeah, but Amanda, like, yeah. I have to figure out still, like, how I'm actually going to monetize on all of this. Everyone's like, so we know that you're doing all of this, you know, and exactly how are you going to end up paying the bills? And that's really kind of where, you know, you have that fear and you have that fear that's fueling you. And then you have the big anxiety attacks going, oh my God, what have I done? You know, like, there's a lot that goes into kind of knowing when something... You need to move on from something and then maybe not fully kind of figuring out exactly how you're going to do things. But
that kind of, that's a great statement. But that's a great statement that you made. And that kind of leads into sort of my next question for you. Cause I was going to say, like, were you nervous to make this leap of faith? But it's like, I guess I still want to know, like, you know, were the nerves there, but also how did you get past the nerves of doing that, knowing that you still didn't really know how you were going to monetize it?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people listening right now, they might be like, yes, I'm really passionate about health and wellness. I'm really passionate about finances. I'm really passionate about X, Y, Z, whatever it is that they're passionate about. But they're like, I don't know how I would take this and create something to be able to financially support myself or my family. Yeah. And I'm too nervous to take that leap of faith. How did you get past that fear? Because that's a big fear.
Yeah, I think my fear was reversing it and go, am I going to like who I am if I stay?
Right.
So for me, you know, like, I mean, I loved what I did. Like, I did love being on TV and having, you know, I had a very exciting, in a sense, life. I had new people that I met every day. I had to do a show. I was emceeing galas. Like, I mean, I was really involved, you know, in the life of Ottawa. And it was really great. But after, I'm starting to cover things for like the 11th time, you know, and it's the 11th time I'm talking about this, and it's the 11th I'm happy or excited about this event. Like, it became a bit like Groundhog Day,
right?
In a sense. And I know how lucky I am to have the job that I did, but when you're getting up at 3:30 in the morning to do it, I wanted to feel more than I was feeling doing it. And in June, I came down with a case of the shingles. And it's incredibly painful.
Yeah.
And it's usually associated with older, like an older generation. I'm 42 years old. And so to have that occur, I was kind of lying in bed in excruciating pain, saying to myself, I think my body is telling me that it's tired, that it's done what it could. Mm-hmm. And it's telling you you're done.
Yeah.
And I listened to my body. Like my body, I was an elite gymnast. So I trained like, you know, 20 some hours from the age of like 7 on.
Yeah.
So my body has really carried me through so many different aspects of my life. Mm-hmm. I've relied on it, right? As a competitive athlete, I've relied on it for so many things, and I really trusted in it when it was having this shingles reaction that my body was telling me it needs to reconsider what I've been doing. And so that was the start of me coming to terms with the fact that I wanted to start the dialogue of me leaving the show. Yeah. And when I went and talked, like having that, listening to those words when I sat down with my boss to actually hear myself say those words,
yeah,
I was so scared because I didn't know as I was saying them if I was going to be like, oh my God, you know, shut up, stop talking, stop
talking.
I take it back. Like, I was anticipating that I was going to be doing that. But as I started to talk it out and just say, I've been doing this for this long, it's starting to feel like Groundhog Day, my body's reacting, I have a very different schedule than the rest of the people on the show. Like, it was almost like I could feel the anxiety in my stomach starting to loosen. I could feel the tightness letting go. Mm-hmm. And I knew in that moment that I had made the right decision. Like I could sense the relief in my body. Mm-hmm. I was so scared. And trust me, I paced my house in the middle of the night, kind of pacing back and forth and sitting in my favorite chair in the darkness of my house, yeah. kind of going through and playing through the scenarios. But I had to just believe that I had it in me and I knew I was a hard worker and that I was going to find a way to find the light on the other side. Mm-hmm. So what was hard for me in all of this is ego, if that makes any sense. Like is everyone was expecting that I was making this big decision that because I had some big job lined up and I just right. wasn't letting people know what it was. Or like I had a lot of people like, oh my God, I can't wait till you reveal what it is that you're doing. And it was really hard for me to say like, and I was really honest with everyone. I go, I have nothing on the other side. I am seriously jumping off a cliff. Like, yeah. I just know that I need to do that. And so I had like, it was a bit of a hit to the ego when people were like, oh, so you don't have this big job lined up or you're not doing this big thing. And I was like, no, I was perfectly honest with you. I have nothing, you know, I'm really starting from scratch, but this is something that I believe I can do. And I'm going to build it from scratch.
But to be totally honest, I mean, you know, to all those people that were wondering what you had on the other side, really the other thing that you had was like yourself again. You could find yourself and you could actually develop sort of this new life for yourself that you knew you needed and that you knew you wanted.
And my happy self.
Yeah.
Like I wanted, and I didn't realize, to be honest with you, until I was out of the show and had been able to sleep for a couple of days. And like about 2-3 weeks in, I started to look back and realize just how dark of a cloud I was under, how right. dark it, how I didn't even realize the darkness of the cloud around me. I'd gotten mm-hmm. so used to it. So as I started to feel the sunlight coming in more and like, it, you know, piercing through the dark cloud, as the sun started to come in and the dark cloud started to disappear, like I was like, oh my God, I really was under a dark cloud. I just wasn't as happy and as vibrant and as energetic. And I found my personality was coming back. You know, yeah. I didn't think maybe sometimes I wasn't as nice as I really am. Like it was finding myself again. And I liked who I was starting to feel like I was.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
No, it definitely makes a ton of sense. And I think, you know, for anyone listening right now, like the whole idea of, you know, being nervous about things is totally normal. Like you're going to be nervous about making, especially a huge career change or jumping off a cliff like you did, where you have nothing really planned on the other side, but you're just going to kind of try to figure it out. But like the fulfillment side of it, the feeling that you get, like we had the same thing. Laura and I had not a similar experience, but you know, we both had corporate jobs and we had director roles probably coming up for the two of us. We were both in management positions at a very young age of like 24. In like, I worked for the Toronto International Film Festival as a manager. And it's, you know, when I told people that we were going to leave our corporate jobs where I got to hang out on red carpets and hang out with people and go to cool parties and do all these fun mm-hmm. things, go and like teach fitness in a park, they were like, you're crazy. How are you going to live? People were telling us it was the worst idea they ever heard and everything else. But I believed and I knew that they were wrong. I knew that like what I had planned and what I saw for myself was possibility. And I also saw like, yeah. the potential of what we were creating. We knew that it was more than what they were seeing. We could see it in the big picture of things. We had a vision of what we wanted to create, how we wanted to make impact, what it is that we wanted to bring to this world. And it wasn't that I didn't love my job. It's just that I wasn't able to do that through the course of action I was taking. So I had to make a decision, you know? And it's like, I still remember the day I left. It was like, I was so happy. I remember I left and I just like, after my day was done, my last day, I like walked to the yoga studio and I was just like, yeah, like this is amazing. And then every day now I, you know, knowing that every day I get to wake up and choose what it is that I do. I choose my life. I choose every day what I focus on. Of course, there's days when I have to do things I don't want to do, like accounting and stuff that just falls mm-hmm. into like being an entrepreneur's lifestyle. But being able to have that choice and that freedom and being able to create your life will make you your best self. Like it will actually make you be the happiest person possible because you are responsible for your own self.
Yeah, you are. But there's, and like you mentioned, like there's a massive learning curve, right? Like,
of course,
you were good at doing, you know, you were good at what the job was that you were doing. And, you know, you and Laura have like this great relationship and you knew this partnership was going to work. But when you actually start putting things into place, you're taking on different tasks that you haven't done before.
Yeah.
You know, like I've been a storyteller. Like I'm good at doing interviews and being live on TV. I've done it for 20 years. I'm not good at doing an invoice or, you know, managing my calendar of my scheduling, or like accounting. Like that stuff is scaring me. Like I
if you need help, let me know.
Oh my God. Like someone was talking about my taxes and I'm like, I've never saved a receipt in my life, you know? So it's like massive adjustments to my everyday life that I'm like, oh my God, these are the things that now occupy my time. And then I get discouraged because I'm not good at them.
Yeah.
So I'm so used to feeling good at what I'm capable of doing. And while half of the time I'm doing things that I love and when I'm doing my podcast, I feel like I'm on top of my game, but you know, I do the podcast in the morning and then the afternoon I'm having to figure out, you know, proposals.
Yeah.
And I just feel like a total failure. And it's about kind of refocusing on that I'm going to get better each time I do it.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a mindset shift for sure. And I think, I think it's also like understanding that you're not going to be great at the things that you're new at. Like it's just, you know, like even if I think about like my daughter, like little baby, like when she's learning how to walk, she wasn't like great at walking at first, but eventually she got great at it, you know, and she's running around now and it's fine. And it's the same thing with any skill that you're learning. It's going to come to you just like everything else has. It just takes time. And then there's things that you just, like for me, accounting is like, I'm never really going to be great at it. Like I know that. And I'm okay with that because I have hired an amazing accountant who manages my stuff for me so that I don't have to worry. I have to do the day-to-day stuff, but I don't have to worry about the big stuff. They tell me what to do. Yeah. We have conversations. We have open dialogue about everything so that I'm in the know of it, but I don't have to do the nitty gritty because I can't, because it's just not in my skill set. And I don't want to spend countless hours doing that because I have other things I need to focus on. And so when you get to a place, you can do those things for sure. When you're starting out in business, you have to do it all. And I get that. And we did it all. And I think that going through that process, learning it all from the very beginning.
Amanda, I'm already ahead of you on that one. When I started, I was like, accountant, okay, so I'm good at doing this. Can you help me with this? And the benefit of the years that I put in is that my network of people and I'm realizing is like my net worth, right? The people that you know and have relied on and have good relationships with are the people that are going to help build your next project.
For sure.
And I would suggest that for everyone, right? When you make a good connection, you know, it's like a friendship. You have to work at things, but like continue to have the conversations and know that when you're meeting people that if you treat each other with respect, usually there's always, you can ask a favor of someone and a favor can be returned. And I think I have a really good value and appreciate the people that have been incredibly helpful along this journey.
Mm-hmm.
And realize like, you know, them saying, you know what, we really loved the time we spent with you on the show and this is not, you know, this is no problem. You know, you realize that there's a give and take in relationships and sometimes you can give and then sometimes it's okay to take a little bit too.
Of course. Yeah. And don't be afraid to, and for anyone who's starting out, don't be afraid to ask. Exactly. I was going to say, don't be afraid to ask for help.
You had to ask.
If you're sitting there and you're scratching your head and you're like banging your head against the wall, being like, I don't know how to do this. I'm never going to get it. Like for me with accounting, it's like, don't waste all of your precious energy doing just that. Cause it's not going it's not going to serve you and it's not going to serve your business. It's not going to serve your vision. It's not going to help you in any of the bigger picture because, you know, they say like in business, you should be focusing 80% of your day should be focused around the things you're really good at. The things that are helping you either make money or make more impact or whatever the case may be. Like that's where your focus should be. And then the other 20% of your day should be doing the things that, you know, you have to work through or the things that are like necessities for actually running your business.
Yeah. I'm pretty much right there. And they're very vocal about it. I'm good at creating content.
Yeah.
Even like, even my website, like even updating all the posts and stuff, like I create the content, I give it to my web developer to post it.
Perfect.
Here are all the links of all of the YouTube stuff that needs to go up. I have no idea how to use the back channels. I need you to help me. So, and it's because 80% of the work went into creating the content, you know,
exactly.
I'd rather be able to say, yeah. So I'm realizing where I need to invest and where I don't.
For sure.
That's just part of the learning curve also, you know? Yeah.
For sure. And I think, you know, for anyone who is just starting out though, and they're like, well, I can't afford a web developer. I can't afford to have a bookkeeper. Like Laura and I, we did everything from the beginning on our own. Like we literally were like hanging up posters in the middle of January outside freezing. I'd be like crying while I was doing it. Cause I was like, I hate this. Literally I would.
I should be on a red carpet right now at the opening of a film. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I remember because we were just like busting our butts to get everything done. You know, we would do accounting on Sundays. We would sit down and do it together. We would figure out our numbers. We'd figure out all this stuff. We would do all of our marketing materials. We'd show up to every trade show, every charity event, everything. We were everywhere physically on our, like everything was on our plate. Plus we were still working our corporate jobs for 1 year before we actually left. And, you know, I guess my point is that sometimes you do need to do it all. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with doing it all. So if you're listening right now and you're like, but I don't know how to do these things, you just have to learn. You have to learn. You have to just do as much research as you can. Reach out to people that you know. If they can't do it for you, maybe they can at least help you along the process. And I don't think it's a bad thing because I know how to do all these things now. I just know where my expertise lie. I know where I'm really, where I should be spending my time. And so now I'm able to divide my time effectively so that I can be the most effective leader that I can in my business. But in the beginning, you do have to separate it a little bit sometimes and you got to divide it. Now, so Leanne, I'm curious, how are you feeling now that time has passed and, you know, obviously like you're more into, because how long ago did you leave your position?
I left in the middle of November. So what are we, 4 months?
Yeah. So how are you?
Yeah,
about 5 months. So how are you feeling now?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're settling more into this role? Do you feel like you're feeling a little bit more, like less anxious, more, I guess, committed to the process of like what it is that you're creating and kind of feeling like you're in it?
You know what? There was a lot of, it's kind of a mix of both. And it's almost like, if I could kind of like a roller coaster a bit, like I have some really good highs and then some pretty big lows and then up to the highs and down to the lows. Like a lot of it in the initial stages. So the first 2 months was the creation of my website. So I wasn't, you know, I wasn't out and about. I was really like going and writing and getting the kind of the background and the content for the website and kind of figuring out that I wanted to, you know, the speaking and the health and fitness side and the writing side and the podcast side. So those first 2 months were really just a lot of building and getting things ready to go. And then the website itself launched in the middle of February. So the actual business itself has only been really out for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So the reaction was great. Once the website came out, the reaction was really nice with the podcast and, you know, having people from all over the place writing to get on my podcast, right? So it wasn't like I had to kind of make the calls. It was that people, once they knew what I was doing, were like, hey, can we get involved in it? So that felt really good.
Yeah.
There's the mornings that I'm getting up, like there's not been a day where I've regretted the decision that I've made. You know, like I haven't gotten out of bed one day and gone, gosh, I really wish I'd gotten up at 3:30 and was on the show right now. So there are things that I can continue to check off that I'm like, no, I feel really good about what it is that I'm doing. But when you kind of are going through these ups and these downs, my issue is the financial security of how I'm going to rebuild, you know, what I was doing and being able to provide for my kids and being able to get back to the lifestyle that we had. And that's just pressure on me. And so there are days when I feel incredibly frustrated because I'm trying to figure out, you know, am I doing this content? Should I be going in this direction? Should I be writing? Like I'm still second guessing where I want to put my efforts. Like, you know how you said your 80% is the stuff you're good at?
Yeah.
And the, you know, the 20%. I haven't figured out yet where I want to put that 80%. So
right.
I kind of feel like I threw out a big net and I'm trying to see what catches and what works. And I've had, because people know my personality and I, you know, I'm a competitor. I want to succeed. I've had a lot of people that I trust kind of sit me down and say, you have just planted a seed. Like, you have just started a new project, a new business. You have to let the seed settle into its ground. You need to water it. It needs some sunshine. You can't expect to plant a seed in the middle of winter and the next day have this blossoming flower. And so I've had to kind of take a step back and realize that I just planted seeds. I have to give it time to grow and to settle and to have water and to have sun. And then I'll start to see things sprout. And so that's been my biggest learning curve.
Very hard. Like that. I know your personality somewhat, like from the big conversations we've had in the past. Yeah. I'm just curious how that resonates with you. Cause I know for
that
me,
that has been the hardest part.
Really hard thing. Yeah. Like to sit back and be like, just wait. And you're like, no, I need to do this and this.
Yeah. And so then I second guess, like maybe I should have planted it here, or maybe it shouldn't have been this seed. It should have been this seed. And I don't want to wait another 5 months to realize if it was the right seed to plant. Like, so that's where I find my fear still is because I can't really see everything that I thought I knew I had done right, because I'm still waiting for it to blossom. Mm-hmm. That's where the hard part has been. And I've really had to speak out and speak to my good friends and I have had no shame in calling people in a leadership role that have done certain things like this and say, this is where I'm at. This is how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. Am I okay? Should I make changes? Yeah. And I'm looking at still like an athlete in training. Like I'm trying to be coachable. And I think being coachable is a massive thing for anyone at no matter what age. If you can constantly work to make yourself better, and to find new ways to do things and to succeed because you've been coached a certain way, like I'm a firm believer in that. So I'm asking people, what do you think about this? Is this good advice? You know, and I think that's been helpful. And I think a lot of people too have been good at like kind of holding me back from jumping off another cliff, you know, to say it's good. And then I have people that are saying to me, oh my God, like, look how much you've done in just a couple of months of leaving a 20-year career. You've already established all of this and have clients and are doing all of these interviews. So I sometimes have to sit back and put a couple of things in perspective. And I think you just have to be surrounded by the right people that are going to allow you to have like a good cry if you need one and celebrate the victories at the same time.
Definitely. Yeah. And just to add to two of the things you were just saying, I just want to say, I agree with you 100% when it comes to being coachable. Like, I think for everybody that's listening, you know, if you don't have, you know, either whether it's a business coach or a mentor or even just like an accountability partner or something that you are working with or a networking group, something that allows for you to have that network to communicate really clearly and to ask questions and to learn from, you're really doing yourself a disservice in business. Because I know, like, even Laura and I, we have coaches, we go through different coaching programs and different coaches all the time, because we feel like, you know, like what you said in the beginning when you were talking about the TV show, like you felt like you kind of hit your limit of like where you could go. Like, we feel like we hit limits in our business consistently. Mm-hmm. And so the only way to grow is, it could be self-taught. I could read a ton of books. I can listen to podcasts, which I do. But to have a coach that you can turn to and you can ask questions to, and they can help make you think of things in a different way and look at it from a different perspective is something that you need to invest in. Like, I truly believe that you need
Absolutely.
To invest, whether it's financially or whether it's just from your time perspective, finding a network that you can work with. It doesn't have to cost money. It's just something you have to invest your time and effort into. And then the other thing I want to say, and this is just for everyone who's an entrepreneur, because you were saying, like, you know, you need to have that person that you can turn to. I think one of the things you also need to do as an entrepreneur, and this is something that we were really bad at in the beginning, and we're getting better at it now after 10 years of running our business, is being like okay with being like your, we always say like being Kanye on yourself a little bit, like in the sense of being okay with like celebrating your wins and being like, yeah, I did a really good job. Because as an entrepreneur, you generally, like, I mean, for me, I work from home and, you know, I've got a team that works with us, but as, you know, as the person in charge in certain areas, like, I don't have someone telling me I do a good job. You know, and so for anyone who's out there on their own, especially if you're on your own, oftentimes you're like, if you're working somewhere else, you'll have a boss that'll be like, great job on that pitch or whatever. But here, on your own, you don't have that. So you've really got to kind of compliment yourself if you don't have that person that's turning to you saying, really good job. Because I think it's important to celebrate those things too.
I do too, but I think a lot of people are going to realize that they're in a job that they're never getting told that they did a good job, you know, and, you know, I was coming from a situation also where
really
I don't think, so it's almost refreshing for me now because I was in a place for 20 years where there was none of that. I mean, it's a very difficult industry. And so there really wasn't, you know, oh my God, you've just put in, you know, 15 hour days and did these shows and it was awesome. Like there wasn't that. And so I think there was a part of me that was like, I want to feel good about what I'm doing. And what I'm realizing is when I finish a podcast with one of my guests, they're like, oh my God, that was awesome. Yeah. And then I actually have like this high to go, I love what I do. And I'm able to tell people's stories. And so I find that I'm actually being able to reward myself with that on this side rather than the side that I was on when I had a boss.
Interesting.
Not to put my bosses under the, you know.
No, of course.
It's just the type of industry that I'm in. So it was actually nice to actually be able to pat myself on the back and be like, no, like that, like good job on that.
Yeah.
No one else was going to tell you that, you know. So so I think we're all kind of searching for different things in the decisions to find what's going to fulfill us and what's going to make us happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm slowly figuring out like the little things are starting to come out, you know.
It's so exciting.
Yes, this works and this doesn't.
No, so what would you say then to anyone listening today and they're thinking about making the leap of faith? Like they're sitting there and they're like, I am super passionate about health and fitness, but I'm too nervous to make, like, what would you say to them right now to take away some of that uncertainty, like to give them that confidence or that boost?
The first thing I would tell them to do is to go and follow Gary Vee.
Yeah.
So Gary
Vee. Right. Yeah.
So,
but always wear headphones. What should I do? Around.
So I would say follow Gary Vee and his concept of life success and failures and doing things that you love and are passionate about and not at all being about chasing the money. Like, listening and reading books about people who have done things that are exactly along the lines that you're doing, I think it inspires you. And I know that I was inspired by him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he was recommended to me by someone who had sat me down when I was like, hadn't yet done my leap of faith jump yet and said, and knew how I was feeling and knew what I was considering doing. And he said to me, whatever you do, go and follow him and read his stuff and follow him on Twitter and just see what he posts to Instagram. And that kind of started to motivate me. That kind of started to make me feel like I had a cheerleader behind me that I didn't even know, but who was there.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing that I would recommend somebody do. If, you know, find that coach, find that, like that person that's going to be like, you can do this, you can do this. And sometimes it might not be the right time, you know, like, look at the scenario. Like I had to look at, could I do this now? And then I had to look at it. If I don't do this now, how am I going to look at myself? Am I going to like who I am? And at the end of the day, you have to be able to get up and say, I like who I am. I like what I'm doing and I like what I'm living by. And those are the questions you need to ask yourself. And I think you have to, if you're considering making a jump, you have to commit that you're going to have to work. And if you're afraid of work, if you're afraid of failure, if you're afraid of, you know, having to grind for a bit, then maybe it's not for you. Maybe you just sit back and kind of go, okay, well, this is who I guess I am. But if you are that person who has faith in themselves, then you've got to just put your head down and go and just figure out and trust in yourself that you're going to find your wings. And, you know, and that's what I'm doing.
Yeah,
but there's no easy answer. Like there is nothing to make any of this easier.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you. I think that it's, you have to make sure that it's the right time. And you also do, for sure, you have to be ready to do some work because it's, you know, everyone sees, like, you know, on social media and stuff, people always post like their highlight reels and whatever. And everybody thinks that it's like all glory and like all this, like, oh my gosh, you're so lucky. I hear that often, you know, oh, you're so lucky. You have, you know, my husband is a stay-at-home dad, so he takes care of our daughter in the day I work. And we have like this lifestyle that works really well mm-hmm. for us. But everyone's like, you're so lucky. I'm like, luck has nothing really to do with it. We're fortunate, but I work all the time.
Yeah.
I work six to seven days.
Work for it.
And I yeah. work consistently and I'm constantly learning, constantly growing. I'm nursing my daughter in the middle of the night and I'm listening to audiobooks on my headset while I'm like hanging out with her in the night and stuff. Cause I am trying to use my time as effectively as I can. Right. Like it's literally that. So you have to be,
but you're also afraid of work. No. And you can admire people. Like I do the same thing, right? Like I'm looking on Instagram and I see, you know, these successful women and I see these companies that have launched and I see these women with like just killer bodies, you know, and you see that highlight reel and then there's the jealousy, there's ego and there's jealousy. But sometimes what I've tried to change my mind shift. And when I look at the women that I'm like, oh my God, how does she have it? And I don't have it. Or, you know, how are they succeeding? I actually now try to look at it and look at them and go, what are they doing right? Mm-hmm. Like, what are they doing that is working that maybe I'm not doing?
Right.
Or why do you think she's so successful? Like, what am I assuming that maybe isn't the factor, you know? And if you start to give people the credit that they've put in the work or that they've been creative or they've found a different way to tell a story or do something, mm-hmm. then you can start to kind of feel better about your own process also. But definitely. The comparisons, like, you know, there's been times when my husband has been like, you know, get off social media right now. Like, you know,
yeah.
or he'll see like, you know, like me drained, you know, like, you know, there's something happens and somebody makes a comment, you know, he's just like, that's not your reality. He goes, that's not where your business is. So stop yeah. thinking that it is, right?
Yeah, of course.
Go to who you know you're reaching and focus on your energy there. And so it's where you're going to choose to focus your energy that's, you know, going to be a part of it. And mm-hmm. follow the people that are going to inspire you. Like I really, when I'm in need, I go to people on Instagram and stuff that I know are going to put me in the right mindset.
Yeah, I always say, we always say, like Laura and I, that if you're on Instagram and you're looking at people's stuff and you're like, oh, I'm so envious, I'm so jealous and stuff, and they make you feel bad about yourself, you need to just like remove them, like stop following them, like unfollow them, because
yeah,
the people
exactly.
that you need to follow are the people that are inspiring you, not the people that are making you feel bad about yourself. And also,
exactly.
you know, to your point, like my other thing that I like to tell all of our, you know, fitness and nutrition expert students, our graduates, everybody is, don't compare yourself to someone else's story, because like somebody who is just graduating or just starting their business and they're trying to compare it to like where we're at with our business. It's like, we've been doing this for 10 years. So we've put in work for mm-hmm. 10 years to create the business that we have, to create this life. It's a long process. It's not a race, right? Like it's a marathon, not like a sprint. So
yeah.
like the whole idea of like, just trust in the process, go through the steps and take the necessary steps. And all of those, I mean, I think one of the things that skews people's mentality though is this whole thing on social media that you see now, all these ads of like, become a millionaire overnight and all these kinds of ads that are like crazy. And I'm like, I feel really frustrated that whenever I see those, because it's just like, it's really, you know, it is possible. There are those like overnight successes guaranteed, but that's yeah. not the norm. So if you're looking at that and you're thinking, oh, I launched this program and I didn't make $1 million. Like you need to just like calm down. Like that's not normal. Like take a step back and be like, it's okay. If I got two people to sign up, that's great. It's a great starting point. Now I can look at it mm-hmm. and reevaluate and see how I can fix things to make it bigger. How can I make more impact? How can I start to recreate this so that I can continue to tweak it and make it so that I'm impacting the people I'm trying to impact? Like don't always compare it to like these weird ads or these other people's highlight reels. Cause it's not going to serve you at all.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I tell you my favorite page though on Instagram to look at?
Please.
Is the, okay. Are the transformations, the body
yeah.
transformations. You guys ever look at those?
Yeah.
Like,
of course we do.
I like, like for me, like when I want to feel good and I want to be like, I love looking at people who have chosen to transform themselves into a healthier version of who they can be. And so like when I'm feeling like just in a down mood, I go and look at those and I feel good about people. That's like cool. I don't go to look at like the, you know, the fitness model. I go to look at people who have gone through probably the hardest hardships because, yeah. you know, their lives got them into a certain situation where they were heavy and, you know, usually, you know, not happy with themselves or with their lives and were eating and not exercising and doing that. And I love seeing that people are capable of such change and such transformation. And so sometimes I relate it to what I'm going through and right. I like going to those pages. I don't know. Like, and I'm pretty fit and stuff. Right. So it's not like, but I like seeing people's success stories. And so that's where I often turn to, you know, when I'm just like, okay, like I need to feel good about people and I'll go to those transformation pages. That's where I tend to go.
It's interesting that you say that, Leanne, to be totally honest. On the people that I follow, there's oftentimes people that I don't know, but that I follow their stories on their transformation process as well. And yeah. those seem to be the ones that if I am going to comment on photos, I usually comment on them because I'm so proud of them for what, what they've accomplished, because I know how much work it takes to do any kind of huge, massive shift in your life. It's like, it is life-changing. It is literally like you are having to transform every aspect of your life in order to make that kind of change.
Physically,
emotionally, mentally, like all of those things have to shift in order for you to be able to do that. So I get what you're saying, because I feel the same way. Like I feel really inspired by those people, you know, and for me, I follow a lot of people that are business-minded people, but that are also like, that share their story though, of not just like, I was an overnight success. I don't really follow a lot of those people, because for me, I like to know that people have went through a process, because I want to understand their process. I want to understand what it is that they learned or what it is that they did differently that made that kind of impact. So yeah, interesting. Yeah. So, Leanne, it was amazing talking to you. Thank you so much for your time. Why don't you tell everyone though, because I know you shared it earlier, but why don't you tell everyone now before we wrap up just how they can find you and find more information about what it is that you got going on?
Okay, so head to my website, leannelang.com, and I think you're going to probably post on your newsletters to how to spell my name. So it'll be
everything
there.
Everything will be in our blog.
Yeah. And so, you know, that has kind of everything from the health and wellness section and the videos to the podcasts and the blogs and everything. And I probably should mention too, I got really lucky because Expedia came on when I first left the station. Expedia Cruise Ship Centers came on and had asked me, so I probably should mention that. So, and they've been looking to host a wellness cruise and just didn't know who to have on and which kind of experts to go to. And so they hired me to have like a Leanne and Friends wellness cruise.
Yeah.
So I'm actually cruising the Danube. So I'm going from Budapest to Vienna and then into Germany and leaving out of Prague.
Oh, cool.
But I know it's like the craziest cities. I'm so excited. So it's going to be in August of 2019. It's still a year away because we have to be able to take the whole ship out of the fleet because the entire ship is going to be ours.
Cool.
So it's going to be 150 passengers, and I have 7 people on board with me, like experts, but Tuscarino is one of them. And I think for a lot of people, they might know who Tusca is with her Eat Clean way of life and
fabulous.
Her books and oxygen. Mm-hmm. Like, she is unbelievable. So Tusca's joining me, and I've got nutritionists and trainers and a personal like health coach and makeup artist. So I've kind of created this whole wellness idea and cruise. So that's kind of like been my fun baby, like one of my projects that I'm working on. So the information for the cruise and all that will be on the website. And then just on my Twitter and on my Instagram, like you'll find kind of the things and the stories that I'm doing and then some of the companies that I'm doing things for. So it's pretty much kind of all encompassing, but pretty much most of it's found on the web. And if people want to listen, and I love the podcasting, I think you guys are doing a great job. And you know, when you had Julian Michaels on, I'm like, good for you guys. Like, you guys are rocking it that you're getting these people on.
Thank you.
But my podcast is called Living Your Life with Leanne Lang. And so that's on iTunes and Google Play. So that's kind of another place to check it out and then see the people kind of that I've had on there as well. So
perfect.
And that's just going to plug away like you guys, Amanda.
Yeah. And that's just what it's about, right? It's just consistent work, consistent effort, and consistent growth. Like, that's really just, that's our goal every single day. It's like, what can I grow? What can I focus on? What can I do better? So, well, thank you again. I wish you obviously much success, and I love chatting with you, and I look forward to like connecting again in a few months and hearing, you know, where you're at.
Well, it's okay. Next time you guys are on here in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'm sure you'll eventually get back on to CTV Morning Live. So the next time you guys are coming back to Ottawa, then let me know and then we'll get you on my podcast.
Awesome. We'll do for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.